Hello, everybody. It's Nick Forrester here. We are digging into the E-Town archives as we celebrate the birthdays of some of our favorite musical guests from past E-Town shows. Of course, there have been about 1,000 musicians who've been on E-Town shows over the years, so it's going to take a while, but we are getting started. This week, happy birthday to Colin Hay. Many of you know his distinctive singing voice from his years with Men at Work, but his solo career has really been remarkable, too, as a writer and a singer. He's on tour a lot, and his songs and voice find their way into film and television shows often. So here's a brief section of a recent show with this week's birthday boy, Colin Hay.
Up this morning calling out your name. The more things change, the more they stay the same. Like dodging rocks in the pouring rain. I wanna know, are you doing well? 'Cause baby, from this distance, it's hard to tell. I wanna know, did you let it go? 'Cause I can't stop my mind from doing prison time. Someone left, someone blamed, stuck in the middle of a hurricane. The more I lost, the more I gained, but still I have to ask you to explain. I wanna know, did you take a chance? Did you stay a victim of circumstance? I wanna know, did you find the door? 'Cause I can't stop my mind from doing prison time. Of your footsteps in the dead of night. No one's wrong, no one's right. I'm in the ring, but I don't wanna fight. I wanna know, are you doing well? 'Cause baby, from this distance, it's hard to tell. I don't know, did you let it go? 'Cause I can't stop my mind from doing prison time.
Welcome to E-Town, Colin. So glad you could join us.
Thank you very much.
I was trying to think about your musical path, and it is about as many twists and turns as anyone could possibly have, it seems like. You left Scotland when you were 14 or so.
I was, yes.
What did you take with you from that time in Scotland? Was there any sense of traditional Scottish music or the musical culture of Scotland that you sort of became infused and a part of you before you moved to Australia?
I think there was part of that in my DNA that I was unaware of.
Yeah.
I did sing in a Gaelic choir when I was in Scotland, and I think that if you're from that part of the world, and I'd been there since, I think our family first went there in the 9th century or something like that, so quite a long time. Yeah. So it's in there somewhere, but I was unaware of it. But I was a lover of, at that particular time, bands that everyone was in love with. The Beatles, the Kinks, the Rolling Stones and the Who. My mother and father had a music shop. So that was really the music that I loved. My older brother, who's 4 years older than me, played me Booker T and the MGs' Green Onions, which yeah. was frightening. You know, it was sort of very, very amazing, kind of, but it's kind of spooky at the same time when you're 12 or 13, you know. But that, so he introduced me to soul music. So, yeah. But the Scottish thing was probably in there, and I was unaware of those until later on. You know?
I'm trying to think about why a Green Onions would be scary, but I think it was for me too. We're about the same age, and I think I remember thinking of it as being, sort of mighty and mysterious, and it was also so sparse. There was.
And sparse and something very mysterious
intense.
About it. Yeah, and just so effortless. You know, all the parts too. Just
right.
Brilliant. I mean, even now you listen to it and you just think, that's a masterful piece of work.
Yeah.
You know?
It's funny, and especially as kids, I think you tune into some of those subtler aspects of a song when you're younger, when you're a teenager. But when you got to Australia, did you fall in with,
a bad crowd.
A bad crowd. Well, that's the nature of the country, after all.
Everywhere, the whole country's a bad crowd.
Yeah, it's nothing but criminals in Australia.
Exactly, right? Exactly. The criminal class. Isn't that amazing? Well, the amazing thing about Australia is that it's such a fluke of nature in a way that 22, 23 million people ended up having this continent.
Right.
Because it's massive. It's the same size as the States, you know. Yeah. And it was, Aboriginal people were there for, they thought 30,000 years, then 40,000, 50,000, then I think the carbon dated a skull to 90,000 years. So they've been there for a long, 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 long time, leading very, again, very mysterious nomadic cultural lifestyles. And we came there as the English, just going, where can we put these criminals?
Right.
You know, because America didn't take them anymore. Because previously, that's where they'd sent them.
Right.
And of course, with the War of Independence, America said, okay, go away. This is America now, and you can keep your criminals, by the way.
Right.
So hey, and the Thames was.
We enjoyed the cheap labor, but it's
exactly.
over.
Exactly. Yeah. And all the ships were sitting there on the Thames, getting lower and lower in the water. And they said, well, we have to do something with these people, you know. So they sent them to Australia, and it's remarkable, really. But it's a brilliant place. I went there when I was 14, and it's awesome in the true sense of the word. You know, it's still one of the world's great secrets.
Yeah.
Amazing.
This is Nick Forster. You're listening to E-Town. I'm speaking with Colin Hay, founding member of the band Men at Work. So when you landed there, and then pretty soon, I don't know how old you were when you met Ron Streichert, because you guys had a duo for a little while, right?
We did. I was in bands when I was growing up at school, and then I started, mainly I was acoustic, playing acoustic music.
Yeah.
And I met Ron in 1977. He was a beautiful 12-string guitar player. Just one afternoon, and I was going off a few days after that to do I was in a musical and in the chorus. So I said to him, when I come back from this musical, we should work together and write some songs. And, yeah. And so he said, okay. So we did that. And that thing, so it was 77. But I think for probably about 10 years before that, I'd been trying to write songs.
Yeah.
And mainly play acoustic guitar and doing covers like James Taylor and the Beatles and Dylan. And
it wasn't that long before, that was 77. So it was pretty shortly thereafter that Men at Work got started.
There was a quickening that happened. Ron and I were working, and we were quite happy with the songs we were writing and coming up with and playing together. And then Jerry joined us, so that kind of made it a band because he played drums. So we were a trio for a short period of time. And then I asked Greg to join us, and he was just almost finished a music course, but he said yes in the end. So he gave the band flight and instrumental color, and he was a great entertainer as well with the flute and the saxophone.
Right.
And then Jerry brought in John, so in the space of about 3 or 4 months, it was the band that became, commercial successful.
No kidding, commercial success. 150,000 people and 30 million records sold and number one album and number one song in both the U.S. and the U.K. I mean, this is big stuff. Must have been a total shock for you to go from, hey, I'm just a guy, I'm playing some covers and I'm playing acoustic guitar and I'm in Melbourne, I'm at university, and just a few years later...
This is a brand new day. It should have been shocking. You would think so, wouldn't you? But I wasn't really shocked. And we were very ambitious, too. We really wanted to be successful internationally.
Yeah.
And the thing was that from when the band first started, and when you think back on it, it seems like a short time. But when you're in that particular moment, 2 years is a long time.
Yeah. It's the next gig, it's the next opportunity, the next TV show, the next...
So we only had live audiences. We didn't have a record deal. We had nothing. But from the first day, from night we started playing, we kept on getting more and more people who came to see us play. And that was what... I knew we were on our way, and I knew that was a really good gauge because people were very passionate about the band, and it was powerful.
This is Nick Forster. You're listening to E-Town. I'm here with Colin Hay, founding member of the band Men at Work. And it wasn't that long after that that the band broke up.
I know.
85, is that when the band broke up?
Yeah, 84, 85, yeah.
So just a couple of years.
I know. It was strange. I think that bands should have traveling psychologists that come with them because it is, you think that you won't be a victim of the spinal tap syndrome, but you really are. You know, your problems are not really that big. But, I mean, it was really personality-based. I think that it's a cliche, but I really think that that particular group of people were not destined to go any further than what we did, and that's exactly what happened.
Yeah. Well, you managed to keep that going. I mean, once the band broke up and you found your way to Topanga Canyon. That must have been another, I was talking before about these transitions, this sort of transition getting uprooted from Scotland and finding yourself in Australia, and then the transition from being a guy playing acoustic guitar and James Taylor covers to, 150,000 people in the audience singing along no matter where you went.
Yeah.
And then suddenly you're in Topanga Canyon and it's sort of, pre-internet and you got some cash on hand, but, no direction in a way. I mean, that must have been a huge shock also.
Yeah, well, that was confronting in a way because I was leaving behind everything that I'd known, mainly my family and my friends and professional life and so forth. I was just going, I'm going to go and live in America. I didn't really know anybody here. But I was getting divorced was one reason, and I was also struggling with drinking. And I had a record deal based in Los Angeles. So everything was pointing away from Melbourne at that particular time in the late 80s and pointing to somewhere else.
Yeah.
So,
well, I want to mention a couple of things because I think being in Los Angeles, I suspect, helps with one aspect of your career that's actually worked really well, which is getting your songs in television shows and film and being sort of part of that world and being able to contribute in a different way, both as a musician and as a songwriter, but also as an actor. So that must have been an interesting surprise, another twist and turn in your path.
A very great surprise, but also that's an interesting thing too because people go, well, how did that happen? Zach Braff, who he wasn't in Scrubs then. It didn't exist. He came to see me play, and I remember seeing him at a party. He said, I've got this gig in this television show. I go, oh, great. I'll take your CDs in there and see if I can get them. So it was all organic, but it was all from just playing live, mm-hmm. all from doing shows.
Mm-hmm. At a small room. And, you know, it's funny because I lost track of you. I don't live in L.A. and hadn't seen you and hadn't seen your solo shows, but it wasn't until the soundtrack to Garden State that I first heard your song and was like, who the hell is that? You know, that must have been a
That was great. That was great. Thing. That was a great thing to get because, it, you know, and again, that's very accidental. I mean, I know that Zach kind of got the songs together. He wrote this film in an interesting way because he got what songs he wanted to have,
right.
the songs he really liked.
Yeah.
And he would just write to that. You know, he was writing the screenplay as he was listening to these right. tunes. And so when you actually listen to the soundtrack and you watch the film, there's a really strong connection to that, you know? Yeah. So I think that worked really well. But again, Sony brought that out. I don't think they were even really that keen on it. And soundtracks don't traditionally do very well, but this one was great, you know?
Did okay. And of course, the circuitous route and this little winding road continues because you still have other side projects, occasionally being in Ringo Starr's all-star band, which must be a wild experience.
Fabulous, yeah, exactly.
Well, it's your first time here, and we're thrilled that we get to know you a little bit and get to hang out a little and get to hear you play and sing, which we're going to do some more of now, hopefully.
All right.
Welcome back, if you would, Colin Hay.
Before I left the old country, Scotland, that is, I fell in love with this girl. She was an older woman. She was 9. I was almost 9. When I first set eyes on you, first you beat me up, then you kissed me too. We'd throw stones into the sea. There were no others then, just you and me. Across the bridge and down the lane, I knew I loved you then. You said you did the same. Oh, Maggie, what have you done? I should have seen it coming until your side I've run. Oh, Maggie, come to me tonight. I will wait up for you, make sure you're all right. Taught me how to sink or swim. When I was scared that day, you just pushed me in. And when nobody was around, you let me kiss you then. And there the love I found. I said I'd never let you go. You just smiled at me. How was I to know? Oh, Maggie, what am I to do? How can I live with only memories of you? Oh, Maggie, tell me the truth. When your ship was sinking, did you think it through? You were the fountain of my youth. And when I fumbled, you showed me what to do. And when we were about 17, you left me standing there. You were never mean. And when I saw you out with him, he looked much older and you looked very thin. I hadn't heard from you in years. Then your mama called
She couldn't speak for tears. She said, "You left me a note. Inside my pocket burns with these words you wrote. Hey, darling boy, don't you cry for me. I am forever yours now that I am free. We'll be together through stones into the sea. There'll be no others there, just you and me. I miss you. Maggie's gone." Maggie's gone. I think you came the other night. You stroked my brow, your eyes full of light. It may have only been a dream, but I will walk with you to places I never have been. Maggie's gone. Maggie's
That's Colin Hay in Los Angeles, California. Before that, living in Australia. Compass recording artist. The latest CD is called Gathering Mercury. Colin Hay. Thanks for listening. I'm Nick Forster. We'll be back with more from the E-Town Archives.